This is Mr. Tolu Balogun. On the Work From Home podcast, I will be teaching you a lot of things you can do to upgrade your skills and be able to run a work from home business successfully. Stay with me and enjoy. Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of the Work From Home podcast. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on the show. My name is Lindsay Pollock. I am the author of 4 career and workplace advice books, and I spend my time talking to college students and corporate professionals about how to succeed in today's very challenging, fast-paced, difficult COVID, high-tech, global work environment.
Awesome, awesome. I mean, I see that you are very experienced, and honestly, I know I have a set of questions that I written down for this podcast. I would just prefer that we go off the script because I feel we would get into something very interesting here today. Real quick, can you give us a quick overview of your work experience, like the different phases that you have encountered while working up to right now?
Sure. So I grew up in the United States, went to college, and I didn't know what I wanted to do when I graduated from college. I had a liberal arts degree, and I ended up getting a scholarship to study abroad in Australia. So I spent 2.5 years after college getting a master's degree in Australia. And the project that I did was I studied women business owners. I really wanted to learn more about how women started their businesses. And I loved the independence of doing my own writing project and research and interviewing people. And when I came back to the United States in 1999, it was the dot-com boom. And I started working at a website called workingwoman.com that helped women with their career development. And honestly, I think I would still be working there. I loved the job. I loved the mission. It was 22 years ago, but they went bankrupt. It went out of business. Wasn't my fault, but it happened. And I started freelance writing and delivering workshops and working from home. And I kind of accidentally started my own business, and my blog turned into a book called Getting From College to Career. And I began giving little speeches and workshops to college students, Girl Scout troops, you know, anyone who would listen. And I did that for about 10 years, talking to college students about getting jobs and building a resume. I became a trainer of how to use LinkedIn. And then in about 2008, the word millennial kind of exploded, and everyone was talking about this new generation. We're so different than everybody else. And because I was working with these young millennials, I'm in my 40s now, because I was working with these young millennials, people started asking me to help them understand why this generation was so different. And that's what got me speaking to companies about how to employ and manage younger generations. And I got really interested in how just work in general has changed and become more global and more high tech. And then obviously when the pandemic hit, now people were asking, how do we work in a remote environment? You know, how do we work through this difficult time? So I'm just really interested in helping people navigate through all the challenges that you face, whether you work for a company or like me and many of your listeners work for yourself. How do you just kind of figure out how to be successful? And I do that through research and interviewing people about their experiences.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. I appreciate the fact that you not only used to work with the younger generation, but you were able to understand the younger generation and you were able to form a bond, a connection, which helped you to understand them and in turn put you in that unique position where you are able to help other people understand how to work with and manage the millennial generation. So now let's talk about the various generations we even have in the workspace at the moment. I know that we have a couple generations at the moment, but we probably only have a few generations that are active in the workforce as of right now. So can you go through those generations for us, please?
Sure. And it really is different where you live in the world. Mm-hmm. So the average age in Africa, in the Middle East, in South America, in India is much lower than it is in North America mm-hmm. and Europe. So wow. there are different issues in different environments. Okay. You know, for instance, you know, we know Japan is a rapidly aging society. A lot of European countries are dealing with an aging society. Mm-hmm. And then in China, in India, in many African countries, many Latin American countries, we have a youth boom, exactly. right? So it's very different. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is people are living longer and working longer
sure.
because people around the world have more education, and a lot of people are working jobs that are not physical. So you can work a lot longer if you're sitting at a desk than if you're, you know, working in a field or, you know, in a construction mm. job. So where we used to see people working in their 20s through maybe their 60s, mm-hmm. now, particularly in North America, we see people in their 70s
sure.
and even 80s yeah. who are still working, some because they have to make money, mm-hmm. but some because they want to, because they're active and they're interested. So we have the baby boomer generation, which is sort of those born post-World War II, mm-hmm. who are in their 70s now, mm-hmm. still working, going strong. Mm-hmm. I consider myself Generation X. We're in our 40s and 50s. Millennials are in their 20s and 30s. And now we have this group, Gen Z,
true.
Who are, you know, teens and in their 20s. And then, you know, we'll have the next generation. Mm-hmm. But what's different is a lot of young people are in leadership roles because they have such good technology skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some environments, here in the United States, 35% of people work for a boss who's younger than they are.
Wow.
And we didn't used to see that dynamic. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of an element of diversity that we work more globally now. Mm-hmm. There are more women in the workforce mm-hmm. now, and there are more people working with someone who might be 30 or 40 years older or younger than they are. And we just didn't see that, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. It's just a really different dynamic. Yeah. I don't think, you know, pre-technology, you and I couldn't have this conversation.
Absolutely not.
You know, across the world with each other. And it's the same thing where you used to work with people who were mostly your age. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing much more diversity. And I think it's a great thing
mm-hmm.
because we have more innovative ideas. We have more creative relationships. But it is different to work across so many different age ranges.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for, I mean, being very concise with that. One can see why people run to you to give such advice, because you are very knowledgeable about these things. And rightly said, these figures differ per wherever you are coming from. I know even up till now in Nigeria, especially those who live the 9-to-5 lifestyle, they usually retire anywhere between 60 and 65. So you see them saying mm-hmm. they are not working any longer. But then you realize that there is a set that stands out from every other person here in Nigeria where I come from. We have those who are actually entrepreneurs. And you see these people working till their 70s, till their 80s. And it's not as much as maybe because they need money. It's more from the perspective of they still feel like they have enough to contribute and they don't want to stop. You rightly hit the nail on the head. And as you said, I was even surprised by the figure that you gave, that a lot of stages where we have people who are younger in leadership positions, leading on the people who are older than them, and these things were not possible a few years back. And I can see the dynamics over the last 2 years based on some activity I've seen on LinkedIn, where a lot of younger people are starting to step up into leadership roles. One, because they have the education needed, they have the soft skills needed, they have the technology needed to get into those positions. I mean, that is beautifully said, and I really appreciate you for taking us the deep dive in such a little time.
I just did a quick Google search because I was curious.
Okay.
The median age, the average age in the United States is 38 years old,
wow.
and the average age in Nigeria is 18.
Wow.
That's a massive difference. Massive difference,
yeah.
right? That we are aging much faster, mm-hmm. and you have, you know, a stronger youth culture.
Exactly.
So as we see the world develop and we see where which countries I think are going to, you know, be more involved in, you know, the economy, the mm-hmm. global economy. Mm-hmm. You have youth on your side. It's just really interesting to see that make a difference.
Yes, and to also add a little bit to the information you shared, over the past 2 years, I've been looking for people that I could work with or even mentor to be able to help me expand my business. So definitely I'm looking for people who are teachable. I'm looking for people who have the zeal and who are able to, you know, multitask, because my job has to do with a lot of multitasking. So now I've tried hiring people around my age gap, or people that are within 5 to 7 years within my age range, and it has always been difficult to educate them or to make them do things at the level that I need to get it done. By providence, by luck, or by divine intervention, whatever people might decide to frame it as, I kind of tested out a chap who is still in school, is a teenager, and for the very first time in a long time, I gave someone a task, and I can say that the person over-delivered. And it keeps me wondering, the generation that I'm in right now even, do they have any idea what is coming behind them? These people are not going to be sleeping, especially the teens in Nigeria. They are going to take over, and they are going to do it really well, because they are ready to deliver jobs at a much higher standard than most people who are my peers are trying to do right now. I mean, as you said now, we might have that same figure or even a greater figure, that within the next 4 or 5 years in Nigeria, a lot of people within the Gen Z will be taking leadership positions and they will do really well. And we would wonder what just happened.
It's so interesting, because I've been doing this long enough now, mm-hmm. like for 15, 20 years, where my generation used to complain about the millennials. They're so lazy. Mm. They're never going to be good leaders. True. They don't work as hard as I do. Mm-hmm. And now the millennials are complaining about the Gen Z. And you know, the Gen Z are going to complain about whatever yeah. comes next. So I think we have this habit of thinking, because the younger generations might do things differently, that they're not as good. Mm. And I think the challenge is to say they might do something differently or not the way that I want it done, mm-hmm. but that might be really smart. True. And that might be a really good strategy. Mm-hmm. So I think when you think of it not as good or bad, better or worse, mm. right or wrong, mm. and we think of it as just different.
True.
The times change, mm-hmm. and you know, like, it might be different to talk on Zoom, mm-hmm. you know, over the computer than it is in person, mm-hmm. and that's okay, and we can learn from each other. So I think we have to resist that sort of human instinct to say, "Oh, these kids, mm-hmm. you know, they're not as good as we are," mm-hmm. and just be open to it, because I think, if you think of a society in any country where nothing ever changes, that's not good,
true.
Right? We need fresh ideas. True. We need that energy. But I also think, I'd wonder if you might consider hiring somebody a lot older, and they might bring a different perspective, mm-hmm. right? So if we don't look at age, you know, as being good or bad, just as a different perspective, mm-hmm. it's like hiring someone from a different industry or hiring somebody from a different country. Mm. It just brings a whole new
dimension.
Dimension, yeah, perfect word.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. And that also leads me to just want to chip in one more thing before I ask the next question. You know, I talked about how the person over-delivered. Towards the last quarter of last year, I started breaking things down to make my workflow way easier, because I was getting more clients. I needed to simplify my life, simplify my work. So anything I wanted to do, I have a Trello board for almost every job I'm doing. And then I have all the steps that it takes to do every single thing, so that if I have to do anything, I don't have to remember. I just go back to the workflow. The ones that have a checklist, I go through those checklists. For the task I gave this young lad, I already had a system I designed. And by the time we were just talking, at the talking stage, you know, I just crossed my workflow, because I realized that workflow was going to be more difficult to follow. But based on our conversation, because I tend to be a good listener at times, based on our conversation, I realized we could employ a different workflow that will make the job easier, not just for him, but for me also. And then that point, I just told him, you know, get this done, get this done, get this done. And boom, within 24 hours, the job is done, and I did not even need to use the previous workflow. And then the new workflow I was able to design based on our interaction makes the old job even easier. And I'm like, wow, this is way more beautiful than I would have previously thought. And chances are, if I had done this with someone my age group, we would have stuck with that workflow, the previous workflow, because it felt very beautiful. It felt very good. And there would have probably been no reason to change it. But just by interacting with him, I was able to, and as you said, not resist the fact that they do things differently or that someone older might do things differently. So, but just to absorb that energy, that change, and allow that perspective to lead the way.
I love that example, and it reminds me of an engineering student I was talking to who does everything on a computer. Yeah. And she had a professor who made his class do a particular project with a pencil and paper. Yeah. And she said she learned so much because she just had never done that, right? And that's how he learned. And again, it's not good or bad, better or worse. It's just, here's a different way of looking at the same issue. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not about, I think a lot of people think that generational discussions are about older people accepting the way younger people do it. I actually think it goes both ways. Yeah. You have to kind of know your history and know why things were done a certain way and also keep up with the time. So I think it's really important that it goes in both directions. And we often put the burden on the older person to keep up with the technology. But there's also value. There's a TV show we have here called Billions about, you know, like a hedge fund, you know, like trading guys, like billionaires.
Okay.
And they always trade on the computer. Right. And one day their computers get hacked. And they can't trade
anymore.
And so the young guys are like, we're going to lose so much money. We're going to fall apart. And the older guys pick up the phone and they start trading by phone. And the younger guys didn't know how to do that.
Wow.
So there's value in both directions, right?
Thank you for that analogy. Like, very perfect. Very perfect. It helps us to understand. And I'm very excited you talked about the value of history, because when you don't understand where you're coming from, it makes it more difficult to understand where you are and where you are headed to. Because, I mean, in Nigeria, one of the things I've always argued is why was history removed from our syllabus in the schools? We need history. We need to understand and understand our values. Understanding what our forefathers did, I know this is off topic, would have helped us understand our values as human beings and understand what they fought for, what they stood for. And it would have made this country, honestly, so much better. There are stories that my parents told me while growing up that definitely instilled a lot of values in me. A very interesting story my dad told me when I was growing up is back in the days when people wanted to buy and sell, they don't necessarily have to sit in front of their shop or their store. They just put those items there and put a certain amount of stones near the goods. So if anytime someone wants to buy stuff, they actually just understand with the number of stones there and then pick what they want to buy and put the value of money there and place the stones on top so that the money won't blow away. And they can do that for the whole day. Nobody will steal any money. Nobody will steal any goods. And this is the same Nigeria where if you drop just a hundred naira is like 20 cents or so. So if you drop a 100 naira on the floor and you walk 10 steps, chances are you would not even see it anymore. But if we understood our history and persisted with all of these values, chances are we would be a very better generation. We would be able to grow. So we definitely need to be able to understand and understand how to combine the knowledge, the effort, and the ingenuity of all these generations, because when challenges like the one you mentioned happen, we would understand, because we know where we are coming from, we would understand how to move forward. So thank you very much for that analogy.
I totally agree. And I remember when the pandemic first started and the economy, you know, fell apart, I remember some young people who had just started their jobs were very scared, and rightly so. It was very scary. Mm-hmm. But I've been through the global crisis of 2008. Mm-hmm. I was in New York City on September 11th, or I lived in New York City. I wasn't here that day. Mm-hmm. But I know how we got through that. And I remember they were asking, you know, tell me about what happened then. So I think there's so many lessons of people who've been through particularly hardship and good times. But I think that that's really helpful to know we got through it. You know, here's what we did. There are lessons here. And I hope that one of the positives coming out of this horrible pandemic is that we're going to learn some lessons that the next time something happens, we know sort of what we did. So I totally agree. Keeping those stories and that history is so, so important.
Yeah, thank you. So let me ask another question. And I see that our chat has been very productive. I'm totally enjoying this. Thank you very much for being a guest on this show. So let me ask this next question. What are the ways that you have seen that the older generation and the younger generation, or whatever generations are available at the workplace, can work and learn from each other, especially in a case where they don't understand each other? So this is not coming from a place where they are giving each other space to understand. This is coming from a space where they don't even understand each other. They don't even want to see face to face because of the differences in the way they approach things.
So first, I think we have to look to the family structure as an example. Okay. That we all know how to work with people and communicate with people of different generations because we all have families. Mm-hmm. You know, however big or small your family is, you know people who are different ages. Okay. So I think we have to sort of admit that we know how to do this. Okay. And we have to make an effort to know people of different ages. So if you go to a party or a business event or a networking event or a conference, sit with somebody who's not your same age, right? Mm. Go up and introduce yourself. I think in offices, you know, when people go into offices, we should sit, you know, not just people who are presidents in one area and junior people in another. I think we should mix more like we do in society. Mm. The second thing is, I think we have to communicate more about how we work. So for example, if you're leading a team, like you said, of people of different ages, don't assume that everybody knows how to use a Trello board, or don't assume that everybody likes texting. They might prefer to come and talk to you face to face. And it might be that you assume the younger person wants to text you and the older person wants to talk face to face, but that might not be true. So I think saying, you know, hey, you and I are going to be working together. What's the best way to get in touch with you? Or just so you know, I really love to meet face to face. You know, would you come and talk to me? So I think we just have to not ever assume that everybody is the stereotype of that generation. Because so many younger people tell me, please tell older people that I do like to talk in person. I don't just want to be on TikTok, you know, like that's a stereotype. And older people, the stereotype is they don't like technology, and that's not true either. So I think it's just always saying, hey, let's talk about how we're going to work together. Let's talk about how we're going to communicate and not be afraid to have that conversation, particularly when you're the business owner and it's your company.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Thank you very much for saying that. And that kind of reminds me of how I tend to work with people when I'm onboarding them. I often ask them what's their favorite means of communication. I was on a call with a new company that I was going to onboard yesterday, and as we were talking, the lady was like, oh, that she's very happy we chose Zoom as the mode of communication, that she's very comfortable with Zoom. I was like, well, for me, I use whatever you use. So if it's WhatsApp, I will use WhatsApp. If it's Telegram, I will use Telegram. If it's Signal, I will use Signal. If it's Google Meet, I will use Google Meet. I have all the accounts on all platforms, and I'm always ready to talk with you on whatever you find easiest with to do. Because, I mean, communication is very important in business, and someone at least needs to be flexible enough to use the communication tool or communication method that the other person finds easier to use. So since that's not a problem for me, I like to be that person.
I think you're so smart. And it's like this podcast, you interview someone in the language that they speak, right?
Yes,
because otherwise you're not going to communicate. True. And so I think that you being flexible as the business owner or an employee being flexible with their boss, I think that's so important because you could have the best thing ever to contribute, but if you're not using the communication that that person wants, it's not going to be successful. So I think that's such a smart strategy. It's exhausting sometimes to use all those different methods, but I think it's really smart.
And you know, we all have our strengths. And for me, it's not exhausting at all. It's piece of cake. It's just to have the technology and then up on the call when we need to. But as you said, for some people, it can be exhausting. For some people, like not for someone like you, who takes time to teach people and walk them through the process of understanding the different generations in the workplace, it is not exhausting to sit down one-on-one and help them through these processes, even if you have like five different people to walk through that process in a day. But for me, that one-on-one time for one-on-one coaching can be very exhausting. I tried it once and I said, I don't think this is for me. So it all also comes to playing around with our strengths and like what you're doing, very beautiful. I respect it so much, not just because you do it, but because I know that I don't want to use the word patience, because I can be very patient with a lot of other things, but I don't I find it frustrating having to, you know, coach people on these things, because there are some times when what the problem will be so simple and you just wonder and be like, why don't you just get it? But then people like you are so patient. You have had one-on-one calls with some coaches before, and I see there's a unique way that coaches try to help you understand and not make you feel like you're being stupid, like you're being silly, and they just take you patiently and say, you know, it's not a problem, have you tried this? And they talk so easily, and I mean, it thrills me, and I have to say big thumbs up to what you guys do.
I like that you talked about strengths. I'm a big believer that it's not about what you can do, it's what really energizes you and what you really enjoy doing. And I think as we talk more, and my goal is when you talk more about career and workplace issues, a lot of people can do a job, but if you're hiring somebody, you want to know that they enjoy, you know, the aspects of the job that that takes. And so I think that's where you really find successful people and companies, because they focus on what they actually enjoy and feel energized by.
Thank you so much. So last question before we call it a day. What are some ways that the different generations can use, aside what you've mentioned, to help make the business or the company move forward and to increase cooperation, to help make sure that they hit their targets? What are some little things that they can do? Not like as much as the big steps now, the baby steps they can take, aside learning to communicate with each other and stuff like that.
So I think number one is to be really clear on goals, right? You talked about your Trello board that is very laid out. I think we sometimes say things like do better, sell more, right? So I think we have to be very clear. A lot of people, you know, are better working in those parameters. The second thing, so that's very specific, but from a big picture perspective, I think the most successful multi-generational organizations are when people really feel like there's a mission that they're moving towards. So think of like a political campaign where everybody's trying to get a certain person elected. You are so focused on that mission, or maybe a nonprofit that's trying to raise money. You're so focused on that mission that you're not as interested in how old the person next to you is, because you both believe in something so much that you want to make it happen. You see this in a lot of startup companies too, that you're so excited about the mission. So I think as a leader, you want to make sure you're setting really clear goals, but you're also talking about why your work matters and how every single person's job is going to contribute to that bigger picture. Even the person who's sweeping the floor, or even the person who's, you know, driving the truck, that ultimately the goal is the same. And I think that really drives people across all ages to feel like their work makes a difference. And I think it's the leader's job to talk about that and keep everybody focused on the big picture.
Wow, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. And I can't appreciate you enough for the amount of value you have added to both me and the listeners today. So real quick, if people want to learn more from you, if they want to contact you, how do they do that?
Thank you so much. I am very active on LinkedIn, so please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn and take my LinkedIn learning courses. My name is spelled LINDSEYPOLLAK. So LinkedIn or my website, which is also my name, lindsaypollack.com. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation.
I mean, I enjoyed it way more than you think. And the links that you've given us are in the show notes. So you guys have to go and click on that. I'm following Lindsay right away on LinkedIn to make sure that I can see her content and also share to my feed so that other people who enjoy or would be able to benefit from what she's sharing would be able to, you know, consume it too, because I don't want to be the only one who would enjoy her content. So definitely I'm going to be sharing a lot of that on my LinkedIn feed. And also make sure you share this podcast with your friends, your families, and people you don't even like. You never know, they might find it valuable and start to like you for sharing this awesome content with them. Thank you very much and have a great day, guys. Bye.